All right, how's it going, Summer Shoreline? Come on, it's summer. I said the word summer. Guys, I am pumped to be here with you tonight. I hope I see shuffling going on in the room, meaning you're getting out your Bible, you're getting out a journal, you're getting out a pen, you're ready to learn. Because here's what I know, here's why I'm encouraged to see all of you guys tonight. One reason is we're about to go together to enjoy some Torchy's tacos right after this, and I'm excited about Torchy's, and I'm excited about sharing it with you. But also, this excites me to see a room of a couple hundred teenagers, and you're here on one of the first nights of summer at church. And you are, and here's what that means. That means you are interested in making gains. You are interested in pumping up your spiritual muscles. And so we want to help you do that. We want to start off this summer with a series called Gains to help you be equipped with some tools to grow on your own spiritually this summer. Now, some of you guys, I've said the term gains. You see it up on the screen. It's kind of shaped like dumbbells, and you're not exactly sure what I'm talking about, and that's probably because you haven't spent much time on Urban Dictionary, which is one of the greatest websites out there that the world's ever created. Have you guys ever been on Urban Dictionary? It's the best place to figure out what terms mean. You know, we were talking about, hey, we want to this summer help students be equipped to grow on their own in their relationship with God. And Jermaine was like, bro, we should call it gains. And I was like, I don't know what gains is. And he's like, bro, Urban Dictionary. So I went on Urban Dictionary. I figured out what it means. And the most helpful part about Urban Dictionary isn't the definition they offer for terms, but the examples of using it in a sentence. So I'm just going to share a couple of those with you so you understand why we're calling this series Gains, all right? So here's the term gains in a sentence from Urban Dictionary. Number one, I've been making all kinds of gains. That's how it's used in a sentence. Let's go to the gym and make some gains. Now you're beginning to understand what it means. How about this one? That bro looks pretty gainsy. He must be doing roids. That's steroids. Here's another one. No, I'm not going to drink that beer. I don't want to kill my gains. Something you hear almost every day. And then this one, I don't think I understand it, and I hope it's not inappropriate, but it says, those eggs are straight up gains. I don't know. It's on Urban Dictionary. So essentially, gains is a term that is used to describe a lifestyle that is meant to put on muscle and get into shape, to grow. And so we want to help you grow spiritually. But before we do that, I want to tell you a quick story to talk about my own personal gains. All right. So now for about 5 years, I've been the director of the high school ministry. And when you become the director of a high school ministry, what that means is that every summer, you're posing for pictures shirtless with 18-year-old dudes with six-pack abs, and you feel like an idiot. And so I became the high school director. I go to Camp Barnabas. We're at the pool, and somebody's like, hey, smile for a picture. And I'm like, great. And then I go home, and I show my kids the pictures, and they're like, Dad, why does it look like your body's made out of dough? And I'm like, dang it. And we go to Haiti, and we have beach day on Haiti, and everybody's smiling, and I'm just hanging over the edge of my swimsuit, and all these 18-year-olds with all these like bumps and ridges on their body, and I just feel terrible. And so along with my wife, as we reviewed these pictures and the sad state of my body, we realized I needed to make some health gains. And so my wife and I talked about it, and we decided, all right, we're going to work it into our budget. You are going to become a member of 24-hour fitness. So you can work out 24 hours a day so you can get in shape. And so we did it. And 24-hour fitness is expensive, like the monthly membership, but we found these friends that had Costco, and through Costco, you can buy a 24-hour fitness membership for much, much cheaper. The only catch is you have to pay for 2 years in advance all at once, but it adds up to much cheaper over time. And so I was like, man, I need to make these gains. I'm in terrible shape. Let's do it. I got 2 years of 24-hour fitness membership. Now, do you know what happens when a 35-year-old with three kids gets a 24-hour fitness membership? Guess. Somebody shout out what you think happens. Yeah, you don't take the kids. That is sketch. That playground in there, that is a way to get stuck with a needle. No, I did not take the kids. I went for about 2 months, fairly consistently, and then it tapered off, and then I stopped using it after about 3 months, never used it again. Completely wasted the membership. Now, here's why I tell you that story about my gains and about 24-hour fitness. I think that is an analogy for many of you in this room, for many of us in this room, in our spiritual lives. So see if this rings true for you. There comes a day when you understand that you're a sinner and that the wages of sin is death and that you're desperately wicked, that you're lost and that you're alone and that you need God. And you find out that God loves you, that he hasn't rejected you, that he's pursued you with his love, and he even sent his son Jesus to die for you and to be your savior and to grant you security for your eternity, to forgive you of your sins, to wash you clean, and to give you entrance into his kingdom someday. And so at some point, you become a Christian. Jesus rescues you from the power of sin and brings you into God's family. You are officially a member of God's family. And now you're a member of God's family, and he has all of these resources before you. He has his word. He has his people. He has his church. There's podcasts galore. There's devotionals galore. There's all these resources out there for you to grow. And maybe at first when you become a Christian, you're eating up those resources, but slowly and surely other things get in the way and you get too busy and you stop short of fully accessing the resources that God has made available to strengthen you spiritually. To access those resources, this is the message tonight. This is the message of the next 3 weeks. To strengthen yourself spiritually, you have to engage in spiritual discipline. I did not have the discipline to maintain my 24-hour fitness membership. I was a member, I'd paid for it, but I was not accessing the resources that were available to me because I didn't have the discipline. And that is how so many of us are spiritually. We're a member of God's family, but we're not growing. We're not strengthening ourselves. We're not making gains because we're not taking advantage of the resources before us. So here's the overview of this whole series, what we're going to talk about the next 3 weeks, then we're going to dive in really to tonight's message. But the overview is this. It takes little effort to become a Christian, but it takes much effort to grow as a Christian. It takes very little effort to become. It takes faith. It takes belief. It takes confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you are a member. But if you want to grow as a Christian, if you want to be productive and useful in the kingdom of God, if you want to store up for yourself treasures in heaven, if you want to be richly blessed here on this earth, it takes much effort. And I don't think this church and I don't think the church in general is telling you young people this enough. I think we're afraid that we're going to scare you off by telling you that following Jesus is hard. But guess what? You guys know that. If you want to be a good basketball player, you got to put in the work. You want to be a good football player, you got to put in the work. You want to be a good student, it's hard. It requires effort. Everything else in your life takes effort, and we have no problem telling you that. Your spiritual life, your spiritual muscle, if it's going to grow, it takes much effort. And so we want to inspire you that it's worth it, and we want to show you specifically how to direct that effort. So we want to give you some motivation and some tools to help you grow as a Christian. So here's what we're going to do tonight. I'm going to show you one passage. It's 11 verses long. I'm going to make 3 simple observations from that passage, ask you some challenging questions to help you evaluate your own life, and then I'm going to give you a challenge at the end of this message, something you can do right now to begin to exercise your spiritual muscles. So here we go. If you're taking notes, we're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're just going to look at the first 11 verses of 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter is written by one of Jesus' disciples, one of his best friends named Peter. And Peter is going around starting churches. He becomes a missionary after Jesus dies and raises from the dead. And he goes to these churches. And then the churches started getting persecuted. And they were getting killed and beaten. And so they're scattered all everywhere. And so Peter's writing them letters to encourage them. Guys, the churches that Peter's writing to is not much different than you and I today. There's increasing persecution, mocking, and ostracizing of Christians, people who believe what you and I believe. So this letter is really encouraging and instructive to us. So we're going to go through the first 11 verses. I'm going to read it out loud, and I'm going to give you some observations. So here we go. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to you who share the same precious faith we have, the membership in God's family. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ. See also what we just said. It takes little effort to become a Christian. God's grace is what makes you a Christian. It is a gift, not by works, so that no man can boast. That's Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. So he says, the faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow. So now that you've been given this gift, Peter expects these believers to be growing, and I believe God expects you to be growing in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. How you doing? Let's go to verse 3. By his divine power, God has given. There's that word again, given. He's given us everything we need for living a godly life. So he has purchased the membership into his family, and we've received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us. He started it. He called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he's given us promises. He's given us so much great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature. And now we can escape and get out of the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, so in view of the fact that God has come after you, he's given you a free membership into his family. This is where we really hit the meat of the message tonight. This is what we're going to focus on. In view of all this, make every effort, guys, to respond to God's promises. And then you supplement your faith. You supplement your membership by actually going to the gym and working out, by actually changing your diet, by actually setting goals, by actually having people hold you accountable, by actually having people push you farther than you think you can be pushed. You supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. And then you supplement that moral excellence. You build on it with knowledge. And then you build on your knowledge with self-control. And then you build on your self-control with patient endurance. And then you build on your patient endurance with godliness. And then you supplement your godliness with brotherly affection. Supplement brotherly affection with love for everyone. And then what happens? The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be. You are meant to be productive and useful, young people. Did you hear Sophie say it earlier in her testimony? No one's too young to be a leader. No one's too young to be productive and useful in their knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind. They're stupid. You bought a membership and you're not using it, forgetting that they've been cleansed from their old sins. Verse 10 and 11, and then we'll make some observations. So, dear brothers and sisters, you got to work hard. This is not easy. This is not for the faint of heart, to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. So God has called and chosen you. He saved you. He's loved you. Now prove it. Do these things, and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So three observations from this passage that I think will be helpful for us tonight. The first one is this: healthy things grow. Healthy things grow. If you are spiritually healthy tonight, you will be growing in your faith. You will have grown over this last year. So how was this last year? You're just finishing up a school year. Some of you had been done a week. Some of you are almost done. Some of you are done today. You just had a whole school year. That's kind of how you mark off your life at this life stage. So in this last school year, were you healthy? Did you grow? Look at this picture of my kids. This is Cole on the left, Chapman, and then little baby Annabelle. Every 6 months, they go to the doctor. They get a checkup. The first thing they do is they measure their height and their weight. And here's what they want to know at this stage. Are they growing? Are they adding inches and are they adding pounds? Because during their formative years through elementary school and preschool, they should be growing every single doctor's appointment. In the same way, you ought to periodically stop and look back on your life and see if you've been growing. Look at my kids now. They're growing. They're healthy. The grass, if it's healthy, it's green and it grows and I have to cut it. The tree, if it's healthy, it grows and I have to have it trimmed. Healthy things grow. So I want to ask you some questions right now. And I think some of these might be convicting. Are you growing? Are you changing in your faith? So think back to August. Would your parents say that now, on May 31st, you're a more obedient son or daughter than you were back in August? Have you grown? in your obedience and your honoring of your mother and father? Would your siblings say that you are more patient and kind towards them now than you were back in August? Would your friends say that you gossip less now than you did in August? Are you more sexually pure now than you were in August, less controlled by lust and pornography? Are you less anxious or stressed out now than you were back in August? Are you more eager to serve others with your time? Are you better prepared to answer objections to your faith? What scriptures are you more familiar with now than you were in August? How has your life changed since the beginning of the school year? Because healthy things grow. And if you're healthy spiritually, you will always be making gains. You will always be growing and changing and getting stronger. Second observation I have is this. He kept saying, make every effort. Growth requires discipline. You see, my kids right now, they're passively growing. I mean, they're just getting older. Some of you guys are still growing. You're getting taller. Your body's filling out. You're changing. You're in your teenage years. Some growth is passive. But spiritual growth, guys, spiritual growth is more like athletic growth. So if you came to practice and your coach said, all right, now it's time for conditioning. We're going to start running now, or we're going to start lifting now. And you said, no, I don't need to. And he said, what are you talking about? And you said, no, I'm a teenager. I'm still growing. I'm growing. I'll be bigger and stronger and faster just because I'm a teenager and I'm still growing. What would your coach do? He'd kick you off the team. He'd say, no, passive growth does not count for an athlete. You have got to actively discipline yourself in order to grow. Spiritual growth is just like that. Here's the thing. That list of questions I just asked you, if you answered yes to any of those questions, if you said, yeah, you know what? I think my parents would say I'm a more obedient son or daughter or any of those things. If you answered yes, it's probably because you made an effort to grow in that area. And you did certain things that you disciplined yourself to, whether that was having other people pray for you, having people hold you accountable, setting goals and talking to other people about, hey, here's what I want to do to grow in this area. If you didn't, you probably didn't grow at all. It just doesn't happen passively. Sophie Schott was up here and she talked a little bit about being a cross-country runner. Between her sophomore and junior year, she cut a whole minute off of her 5K time. And this doesn't just happen because, well, she was 3 months older at the end of that summer. No, she made a plan and was disciplined to stick to it, to work and work and work so that she could improve her time on her 5K. I remember that summer we were serving at Camp Barnabas, and I get up in the morning and I go get a cup of coffee up in the T's house. And I do a little devotional, and I try to write some encouraging notes to those people that are in my cabin. And I would be up early before anybody in camp. And as I would walk across camp, I would see this person running down the road. And it was Sophie Schott, who was disciplined because she wanted to grow as a runner. When she had a camper who kept her up late, making noises, and kept her busy and working hard all day, she could have easily used that as an excuse and been like, I'm out in the hot sun, I'm pushing a camper in a wheelchair, I'm doing all these things. But she said, nope, I made a plan and I'm going to stick to it. So I'm getting up early and I'm running. And she shaved off a minute of her time. In addition to that, she did what sounds like the most insane thing in the world. She went to a running camp. How fun is that? Here's the activities at running camp. Running, and then a class that teaches you about running, and you go out and run some more. That's my worst nightmare. And Sophie went to stupid running camp because she wanted to grow. And there are moments that she loves running, but nobody loves running camp. Nobody loves running at 6 a.m. at Camp Barnabas. But she wanted to grow, so it required discipline. You can understand that. You can understand workouts, but what does spiritual discipline look like? What does spiritual discipline really look like? That's the purpose of this series, but let me take you back to the passage and give you a snapshot, okay? Let's just look at verses 5, 6, and 7. He says, make every effort, be spiritually disciplined to respond to God's promises. So here are the things that you do as part of your spiritual discipline. If you're a spiritually disciplined person, you are pursuing, you are supplementing your faith with moral excellence. That means you're disciplined about what you watch and listen to. You care about your morality. You know that what goes in your ears and in your eyes goes into your head and into your heart, and then it comes out of your life. You know that. You're not stupid. You know that what you surround yourself with comes out of you and affects you and shapes you. So you add to your faith moral excellence, and you're disciplined. You're disciplined. You say no. You're disciplined about what you watch and listen to, and you add to that moral excellence knowledge. You're disciplined to add to your knowledge of God. Every single day, you're reading and seeking to understand your Bible. You add to your knowledge self-control. You're disciplined about controlling your tongue, about controlling your lust, about controlling your tendency to people please, about controlling your worry. You call it out as a problem, and then you take steps to address it. You're disciplined in patient endurance. You see, when we experience trials or when life gets hard, what's our tendency? Our tendency is not to endure the trial and see what God has to teach us through it. Our tendency is to either numb the pain of life or escape it. But if you're a spiritually disciplined person and you're trying to add to your faith patient endurance, you just calmly endure the pain and the challenges of life and you seek the Lord in it. You don't try to numb the pain, and you don't try to escape from the pain. A disciplined person adds godliness. They're disciplined about confessing where they have sinned, where they have messed up, and repenting so they can become more like God. This weekend, I saw some stuff on Instagram, and it wasn't any of you, so you don't have to worry about it. It's a person who lives out of town, but it's a person that some of my other friends know about. I screenshotted it and sent it to my friends with some jokes making fun of that person because what they had posted was ridiculous. It was absolutely ridiculous, and I mocked them. And then I read in my Bible 2 days ago how David was writing a psalm about how no one who slanders will be allowed in his courts as he's the king of Israel. And I thought, oh, dang. I was slandering. And I want to add godliness to my faith. And so I came to the people that I had sent the text to, and I said, hey, here's what I did. I read this. I was convicted. I was wrong to slander that person, and I repent. I was trying to add godliness. And that takes discipline because I got to humble myself. I got to embarrass myself. I got to confess that I'm weak and I'm a sinner and I need help. And then you add that brotherly affection. If you're disciplined in brotherly affection, when you care about developing and encouraging your Christian friendships, when you work on your Christian friendships, when you make them a priority, even if they're not the people you have the most fun with, they're the people that you make sure you build time into your schedule. Right now, during the school year, you have that in your small groups every Wednesday night. Well, guess what? They're not here this summer. So what are you going to do to get together with other Christians to hold you accountable, to encourage you in your faith, that you can encourage in their faith and hold them accountable? What are you going to do? How are you going to do that? That's on you. That's on you. And that takes work. And then add to brotherly affection, love. You're disciplined about unselfishly seeing the needs of others, caring for others, and sharing the gospel with others. You have love for everyone. It takes discipline. Guys, that's a long list. You couldn't keep up. You couldn't write it all down. This seems hard. Let me tell you something about Christianity. If Christianity seems easy for you, you're doing it wrong. Do you hear me? If Christianity is easy, if it's just a walk in the park, if it's a breeze, if you just feel like life is just easy every day, following God and walking with Him, you're doing it wrong. You're not doing it right. It's the same way with working out. If you're trying to get stronger and it's just easy, you're doing it wrong. You're not getting stronger. You're not growing. You're not making gains. Remember, it takes little effort to become a Christian. It takes much effort to grow as a Christian. So why would anybody want to do this? That's my last point. Growth leads to glory. Growth leads to glory. Guys, healthy things grow. Growth requires discipline, but growth leads to glory. You see, Sophie disciplined herself as a runner because she was pursuing certain rewards. She wanted to be a productive and useful member of the Highland Park Scots cross country team. She wanted to stand on the podium at the end of the season and hold up a trophy with her teammates and bask in that glory. We did this together. We supported each other. We encouraged each other. And together as a team, we won. We are the champions. But that reward has come and gone. Sophie Schott has graduated high school, and that is over. But the reward that spiritual discipline offers you lasts forever. Let's look at the last three verses here of this chapter. The more you grow like this, if you discipline yourself in this way, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So physical training has some value, but godliness has value for eternity. So it's great to be productive and useful on your football team, on your cross-country team, on the mathlete squad, or whatever you're in, okay? But being productive and useful in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ has eternal rewards. Let's go to verse 10 and 11 and see that. So work hard to prove that you're among those God has chosen. Do these things, you'll never fall away. And then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of God. See, I don't know about you, but let me just be real for a second. I want an entrance into the kingdom of God, but I don't want just an entrance. I want a grand entrance into the kingdom of God. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to see other people that are already in the kingdom cheering for me, clapping, welcoming me in, thanking me for the impact I had on them to get them to that point. I want to celebrate other people as they come in and the relationship that we had as we spurred one another on and encouraged one another. I want to see you in heaven someday and say, I grew spiritually because I was challenged by those questions you asked me at Shoreline. And I started on a path that I hadn't been on before. And I made gains and I was productive and I was useful in the kingdom of God. And then we would worship Jesus together and celebrate that for all of eternity. I want a grand entrance into the kingdom of God, not just an entrance like, well, I paid for your membership, so I guess I got to let you in. And you still get to come in and you still get eternity with God. You're not burning in hell, but I want a grand entrance, not just an entrance. The glory is forever. Earthly glory fades, guys. You discipline yourself for many things. I'm encouraging you to discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. So here's my challenge for you guys as we close. I want to challenge you to commit to spiritual growth this summer. I want to challenge you to commit to spiritual growth this summer. Here's a specific challenge. We're going to give you two new disciplines in the next 2 weeks, things that you probably don't typically practice, but I'm starting tonight with one you probably know and would expect me to challenge you to practice. And I'm going to challenge you to it anyways, because I don't think any of you are doing it. Maybe a handful. I want to challenge you to commit to a daily Bible reading plan. Start here, a daily Bible reading plan. Start there and then supplement, then supplement, then supplement. We're going to give you another supplement next week. We're going to give you another supplement in 3 weeks. You need to come back and learn about those. But look at this quote from D.L. Moody. He says this, "If we would be strong and vigorous, we must go to God daily and get grace. A man can no more take in a supply of grace for the future than he can eat enough today to last him for the next 6 months, or take a sufficient air into his lungs at once to sustain his life for a week to come. You can't do that. We've got to draw upon God's boundless stores of grace from day to day." That's why I'm challenging you, read your Bible every day. John Maxwell says this, "You'll never change your life, you'll never make gains until you change something you do daily. The secret of your success is found in your daily routine." So I'm going to give you just my own personal plan. I use apps. Pretty much everybody has a phone. These are some apps. I really use the first two, but I know a lot of people that use the third one. You should write these down. You should get out your phone. You should search them. You should download them. You can use Join the Journey, which is a daily devotional, Solid Joy's daily devotional, First 15 daily devotional. Commit to a daily Bible reading plan. Here's what I like about these. A couple years ago, I realized I wake up every morning, my phone is my alarm clock, I grab it to turn off the alarm, and I'm drawn towards that screen. You know what I'm talking about? And the first things I want to click on are Instagram or Facebook or the news app or ESPN to check the scores. Those are the first four things I typically will scroll through when I wake up. And I just realized that's a terrible way to start my day. I can do that after, but I want to start my day in God's Word. So what I do every single day when I wake up is I click the Solid Joys app and I read John Piper's devotional before I get out of bed. Then I usually will scroll around and frivolous stuff, look at social media, wake up a little bit, get out of bed, take a shower, go eat breakfast. When I eat breakfast, I open up Join the Journey app. It tells me what that passage is that day. I open it up in an actual Bible that has commentary in it, and I read and study the passage on my own. Then I go back and read the devotional that somebody wrote. Then when my kids wake up, I read them Join the Journey, the passage from the Bible in Psalms, out loud. A second time. So I've gone through it on my own, then I read it out loud to them and we discuss it. That's my, you know, God's word every day. Very simple. You don't have to do that, but here's what I'm telling you today. I'm challenging you to do something. And here's the deal. Some of you go, I've tried it before and I don't know how to understand it. I don't know how to stick with it. That's why we do bagels and Bible every Monday. We've got an open house up here every Monday, 9 to noon. Our staff is up here. You don't know how to schedule a quiet time. You don't know how to come up with a plan. You've got a plan, but you just have no idea what you're reading. Come and talk to us. Go, what is this? What does this mean? Is this a good place to start? Is this a good plan? How do I do this? We want to help you. Ask your small group leaders. Ask your Christian friends that seem to have a plan that's working for them. All right? But don't use that as an excuse that you don't understand it or you don't know what to do, because we want to help you with that. And trust me, God wants you to understand it. He wants you to benefit from it. So, you guys know that we are no longer a member of 24-Hour Fitness. The 2 years expired, and I wasn't going to fall for that again. But I was still fat and lazy. So I needed to do something. So I got on Amazon.com, and I ordered 2 15-pound dumbbells. All right? So there's no bench. There's no, squat bar. There's no leg press, there's no machines, there's no loud music and dudes in tank tops. There's just 2 15-pound dumbbells in my house. But let me tell you what I've done not every single day, but probably 5 out of 7 days a week for the last 2 years. I've done 30 bicep curls, just like this. I do 10 of them, then I do 10 of these presses like this. I mean, wow, crazy, huh? Then I set these down and I put my feet under them. I also bought a yoga mat. Not just for girls. I laid it out on the ground. I put my feet under here, and I do 30 sit-ups. Then I put my feet over it, and I raise them up like that, you know, a little bit. I do 30 of those. Point my toes. It looks really nice. Then I roll over. I do 30 push-ups. All right? Then I pick it up, and I do it all over again. All right? And I don't have to have a gym membership. And listen, for those of you that play football and play sports, you might be looking at me going, weak sauce, all right? But let me tell you, I've done it for 2 years straight, and it's better than nothing. And this is the point I want to close with for you guys is this. Whatever you do when it comes to your spiritual gains, here's my challenge. Find a plan that works for you and commit to it. Don't try to be the next powerlifting champion on the first day. Work your way up to it. But this is my plan, 2 15-pound dumbbells and a yoga mat. And it works for me. And I'm doing better than I did before. And that's our goal for you this summer, is that when it comes to your spiritual gains, you come out at the end of the summer doing better than you did this last 3 months. These next 3 months are better. And I want to challenge you to start with a daily Bible reading plan. And I know daily seems intimidating and big, but I promise you, you can spare and handle 5 minutes a day. And if that's all you can do, that's better than 0 minutes a day. All right? You can do this. Let's make some gains together this summer. Let me pray. I got a few announcements and we'll get out of here. Lord, I thank you so much that this many students showed up tonight eager to grow in their faith. And I pray that this message would help encourage them and spur them and push them on in that direction. I pray that they would investigate, that they would seek you, that they would talk to others and figure out, hey, what's my plan going to be for spending time in God's word, time with you this summer, learning more about you, being affected and challenged by your word. I pray that you'd use their time in here these next few weeks to challenge them to grow. I pray that you'd use Bagel and Bible, and I pray that you'd use their daily devotionals and their relationships with other believers. All of this I pray in Jesus' name, amen.